Occasionally, there are some suggestions that I'd like to make to the congregation that do not merit the time for an entire sermon. I have a couple of those this morning that I'd like to make before we get into the sermon itself. Today and for the next 3 weeks, basically, the majority of the students will be gone from the campus and from our midst. We'll have an opportunity to sort of look at our local work in a way that we do not much of the time through the year. I'd like to suggest to you that all of us put just a little bit of time to thinking about our local work and our local people. You know, the local people are very important. Each local person, each person that lives here in Henderson's and part of the local congregation is very important. And as we look at ourselves for the next 3 weeks, as we look at our Sunday evening attendance and our Bible study attendance and our Wednesday evening attendance and even our attendance at the morning services, keep in mind that we have a membership, as far as our directory is concerned, of well over 500. That's locally. We need to really stop and think and do some praying and maybe seek some ways that we can reach out to find those of our local members who are not here at all and to encourage more of us to seriously and prayerfully consider the need of Bible study and all of the other services of the church. And so I suggest that during these next 3 or 4 weeks that we especially think about what are some of the things that we need to be doing relative to our local work, our members that need to be encouraged on the local scene. The second suggestion has to do with our giving. I want to first thank the congregation for the response that we have seen this year. We're one of the few congregations that stayed above our budget through the entire year, and I appreciate that. But it is extremely important that each one of us as individuals look at his own relationship to God, not only in giving of money, but in giving of self. I'd like to ask each of us in the next 2 weeks to take a few minutes sometimes when we can get everything else off of mind, sit down and take a pencil and paper and put on a piece of paper in front of you where you can look at it, what you have done in 1988. That's what's important. It's not important that I see that or somebody else sees it, but it's important that you see it in the same way that God sees it. Let me suggest that you list your assets and your income and how you've prospered during the year. And then beside that, list what you've done to support the Lord's work. And just compare that and look at it yourself. I think we know the scriptures. I think we know what's taught about giving cheerfully and liberally and sacrificially, wanting to be involved as much as we can. And so I think it's extremely important for you to sit down and take a personal inventory of yourself. And then having done that, sort of look ahead to 1989. Look ahead as an individual. What will you be able to do under normal circumstances? I have found through the years that it's very helpful to me at the first of the year to sort of try to decide, what do I think I'll be able to give during 1989? And I like to take that and divide it by 52. In fact, I believe next year we have 53 Sundays in 1989. What I'm saying is God expects us to do some things personally. He doesn't want me to sit down and tell you what to give or you to sit down and tell me what to give, but we do need to admonish each other to do some personal planning. Our elders will be making plans for our overall budget goal, and these announcements will be made, I'm sure, very soon. But what I'm asking is that each of us prayerfully and seriously sit down and put these things on paper and look at it. What have I done and what can I do? That's what God wants us to do. And I just want to make those two suggestions that I think can be very helpful to our work as we come to the close of 1988 and begin to think about 1989. This morning, we're dealing with the subject of God's payment plans. During the last 4 or 5 weeks, I have heard, perhaps more than any other subject discussed, the discussion of how we'll pay for different things. As we think about giving at Christmas, exchanging gifts in the family, giving to our friends and our associates at work. I don't suppose there has been a day that's gone by in the last month but that I've heard somebody say something about, are you through with your shopping for Christmas? Or do you have all your gifts bought? Or do we have enough money to buy what we would like to, and how are we going to pay for it? And I would imagine that there are not many of us in the audience who have not asked self that question. How are we going to pay for what we'd like to do? There are a lot of different ways to approach it. There are different payment plans that are available today. Some of them are good, and some of them are approaching an area that concerns us. The ease of credit today concerns me greatly. Recognizing that there are people who have more plastic credit cards than they can carry in one billfold concerns me. But there are different credit plans. There are different payment plans that we use. I want to think with you this morning from a spiritual standpoint along this line. Acts 20:28 tells us that Jesus purchased the church. There was a payment plan involved. It is also said in Romans 3, beginning at verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. I want to particularly call your attention to verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Have you ever studied that word redemption? We sang about our Redeemer this morning in two or three of the songs. We sang about He is the one who has redeemed us, and we find our redemption in Him. We were really singing about God's payment plan. Redemption means to purchase, or maybe more technically, to buy back something that belonged to one in the first place. But it at least involves the idea of purchasing something. And here Paul is saying to the Romans that Jesus Christ is the one who had that purchasing price that made it possible for us to be redeemed, to be bought back and to be purchased to once again belong to God. And in all that we talk about this morning, I want you to keep that before your mind, that Christ, Jesus Christ, is that purchasing price. He is our Redeemer. He brought about the redemption to redeem us from our sins. But I think there's something to be said about the different ways that we pay for things and then apply those in a spiritual sense to help us to be reminded of what Christ has done. We are aware that when we buy something, there has to be payment. And probably in the last few days, we have asked ourselves the question, will I pay for this now or later? We live at a time when things are paid for now or later. And sometimes we have a choice. Yesterday and day before, at least four or five times, as I started to pay for something at the cash register, I was asked the question, cash or credit? And that question was really asking, are you going to pay for this now or later? And we'll talk about the decision I made some other time, not now. Pay for it now or later. When we begin to think about sin, paying for that sin and making it possible for us to be saved eternally, God has in a sense said to mankind, you pay for it now, or you pay for it later. And though He hasn't asked the question in the same sense that you and I might have it asked, that's exactly what He's saying to us. He's giving us a choice. Pay me now or pay me later. There used to be a commercial on television, I'm not for sure whether it's still there now or not, that said this very thing. It had to do with Fram oil filters. And the man at the service station in this commercial was saying, if you'll put on an oil filter when you need to, you won't have to pay me to fix something that's more expensive later. You can pay me now or you'll pay me later. And if you think you're getting by with not changing oil filters now, You're really not gaining anything. You think you're not paying now, but if you don't pay now, you will pay later. And the Bible teaches us that that's exactly the case. Revelation 21, 27, by summary says, no sin will enter heaven. And yet we just read in Romans 3, 23 that all of us are guilty of sin. We sin and fall short of the glory of God. If we are guilty of sin, no sin is going to enter heaven, and you and I want to go to heaven. It doesn't take a smart person to begin to realize that something has to be paid sometime. Pay me now or pay me later. God has given you and me a choice when it comes to paying for our sins of choosing Jesus as the substitute payment now, or we'll pay for our own sins eternally, being separated from the presence of God in the destruction of hellfire. Don't kid yourself. Payment will be made. Just like when you walk up to purchase something at the store, you know that even the system under which we live today, there has to be payment made for that item. Somebody's going to pay. And it's really pay me now or pay me later. And God has said, here is a choice. I have sent my son to be your redeemer. I'm giving you the choice to obey him and accept him and let him become your substitute sacrifice. And that's really the idea, folks, that's involved in that statement. We are crucified with him. When we obey the gospel, we figuratively go back and die with Christ on that cross. Let his death take care of our sins. He becomes our payment now. And if we don't take advantage of that, you can rest assured that one of these days we'll pay for our own sins. Pay me now or pay me later. A second payment plan that is used, or a concept that's involved in paying for things now, is the discount principle. I like to buy everything at a discount. And I imagine sometimes that I bought something that the person marked up in price and put sale on it, and I bought it anyway. But we like to buy things at a discount. Suppose that I went into a store and I saw something I wanted to buy and the price was more than I could afford, more than I could pay. But I began to reason with the one who had the authority to change that price. You see, if I'm the purchaser, I don't have the authority to change it. But I began to reason with the one who had the authority to change that price, and he said, I tell you what, I'll discount it so that you can afford it. That's what you call the discount plan. And there are different circumstances, sets of circumstances, that may bring about some type of discount. And you and I are able to purchase something. I bought many a thing in my life at a discount that I could not have bought at the regular price. I did not have the means to purchase it at the regular price. Now, I suggest to you this morning that that's exactly the way it is with our salvation. There is not a one of us in this audience this morning who has the means to purchase his own salvation and pay the full price. Unless there is some kind of a discount plan that's made available to you and me, there's no way we could ever be saved. But there is that discount plan. You see, well, in a sense, Jesus has paid it all. But when we apply that and take into consideration our relationship to it, here's the bottom line of it. Christ has paid what is necessary to make what you and I can do enough. Now let me say that again. Christ has paid what is necessary to make what you and I can do enough. What you and I can do is not enough in and of ourselves. We are saved by the mercy of God. Titus 3, 4, and 5. We're saved by his grace. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But in those very passages, we're told that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There is something that you and I are to do. Not that we can earn our salvation, it's not enough, but God has discounted it, if you please. In that when that blood was shed on the cross of Calvary, Christ was saying, I'm shedding my blood to take care of what you can't take care of. And from that time on, all that God has ever asked anybody to do is just what he's capable of doing. If there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12. It was a day or two before Mother's Day. A little boy dressed in clothing that indicated that he was rather poor walked into a flower shop, looked in the display counter and saw a little arrangement of flowers that was very beautiful, that had a couple roses in it. The man who was running that flower shop could tell from the circumstances the thinking of the little boy, and knew that in his mind he was thinking about, I'd like to buy that for my mother. He looked up to the owner of the shop and said, sir, how much are those flowers? The man who owned the shop said, son, how much do you have? He looked down in his hands and he looked back up and he says, I have 74 cents. The man said, that's exactly what those flowers cost. You see the point? There was no way that little boy could have bought those flowers for his mother for Mother's Day. But there was someone who, by looking, could see his set of circumstances, who knew what his thinking was, who knew what his need was, and all he asked was, how much do you have? And you know, that's what God asks of you and me. God just simply says, how much do you have? I just want what you've got. No more than that. Don't expect any more than that. Just want you to give me yourself and what you have. And that is sufficient for a home in heaven. That's not the full purchasing price, because you see, the blood of Christ discounted it to where you and I can handle it with just what we've got. So this applies. From another angle, there is a payment plan that has been used by some of us in the last month or so that we call a layaway plan. There is an item that one wants rather badly, but there's no way he can purchase it today. There's no way he can have it today. And so he makes arrangements that he'll put some down, and that is laid aside over here to be picked up later. And usually there will be arrangements that ever so often he'll go in and make a payment on that until he's able to enjoy the fullness of it. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. You see the idea? Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. There is a sense in which we are sending ahead. And the payments on this, if you please, in carrying this image through, are made on a daily basis. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. When one becomes a Christian, and I recognize, as I'm saying all of this, that we don't earn and pay for our salvation. We started, if you remember, that all of this is by the redemptive power of Jesus. But when one becomes a Christian, there is a sense in which he's saying, God, I want to lay away my mansion in heaven. I can't afford it. But I want to lay it away, and I promise that I'll make payments every day. Not that I can earn it, but I'll do all that I can do today and tomorrow. And if I live 60 years every day of my life, I'll be laying up. And Jesus even told us how to do that in different ways, one of which is feeding the hungry and giving drink to the thirsty and visiting the sick and those in prison, clothing the naked. You remember Matthew 25? He said, when you do it to these, you're doing it to me. In that sense, as we use our talents and our monies and our time in the Lord's service, we are in a sense looking toward that great gift that is laid away. And I can truthfully say to you this morning, I believe I have a mansion laid away in heaven. I don't have that eternal life today. I have the promise of it. But I don't have the reality of it until I enjoy it in heaven with God. And in that sense, we use the layaway plan. We just simply say to God, I want heaven. I'm going to dedicate my life in Christian service. And I'm going to be sending payments, not that I can earn it, but sending service at least, day by day in my life. And that suggests another idea, and that is the installment plan that we use. And the difference in the installment plan and the layaway plan is that with the installment plan, we go ahead and receive what we're buying, and then we pay for it by installments. Though you and I do not have the reality of eternal life today, we do have the reality of abundant life. with all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. And so when we became Christians and began to live for God, we received the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of the continued forgiveness of our sins so long as we hold on to Christ as our Savior. And we have all those blessings that we can enjoy in this life by being Christians. And that promise of heaven eternally, we received all these blessings when we became Christians. And there is a sense in which we are continuing to serve God with the installment idea. Again, day by day and day by day. So when you think about the layaway plan, there is a sense in which it applies. And yet when you think about the installment plan, there is a sense in which you and I are receiving things today that we don't really deserve. We are well blessed compared to others. I have sat for the last few days and watched these pictures of this earthquake scene and some of the other things that are happening in the world, and I've thought so often how well blessed we are. We have so many of these blessings. We have so many of them, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold today. And we're just serving God on the installment plan, you see. Just again, doing what we're capable of doing each day. Pay me now, pay me later. Discount plan, a layaway plan, an installment plan. I think we can learn from either of these, but there is another one that just sort of sums it up and really, really gives us God's payment plan, and it's what we call a gift certificate. Sometimes when a loved one or a friend is that person who already has everything and you can't think of anything to give them, you give a gift certificate. Now, what's meant, what's involved in a gift certificate? Someone goes to a certain store and pays so much money at that store and gets a certificate which says, when I give you this and you accept it, you have the privilege of going to the store where the money's already been paid and cashing it in and using it. Now, isn't that exactly what God has done for you and me? Back almost 2,000 years ago, God purchased a gift certificate for you. He paid the price with the blood of His own Son and saw that the certificate was delivered, or at least the knowledge of it was delivered, to where you could know that God has already made the payment for your salvation and has said all you've got to do is claim it. It's already been paid. If you will take the steps that are necessary, and with a gift certificate, there are usually certain steps that you have to go to a certain place and sign something and do this or that in order to get that which has already been given by the mercy of the person who purchased it. God has said, if you'll just take the steps that I tell you, you can have that gift certificate, or you can have the value of it, which in reality is your salvation, already paid for. You see, God doesn't have to do another thing today for the salvation of every person that's living or shall ever live. It's already been paid for. The gift certificate's already been purchased. But folks, you know that a gift certificate isn't worth a thing until it's cashed in. If I were to go to one of the stores here in Henderson and pay $100 and get a $100 gift certificate and bring it to you and tell you I've already paid, and by the way, I'm not planning that for any of you, I've already paid $100 down here at a certain store, and all you've got to do is go down there and take advantage of it. I've paid $100 for you to purchase what you need. Why, you know if you didn't go down there and get it, it wouldn't be worth anything to you. Already paid for. But you don't have enough interest in it to go down and get it? Wouldn't be worth anything to you, would it? God has already paid for your salvation. But you've got to have enough interest to cash in that gift certificate. And God has just simply said, all I want you to do to take advantage of that for which I've already paid completely, you just believe me, and you repent and change and live a good life, and you obey my commandment of being baptized into Christ so that you can become a part of that payment in the figurative sense, a part of that payment that has been made. And when you do that, he said, I'll forgive you. You'll have salvation. You'll have a Savior. You'll have a Father. And you can one day have that eternal home in heaven. And yet, so many people won't even cash it in. So many people won't even take the time and put forth the effort to take advantage of the gift certificate that's already been purchased. I don't understand that. I don't believe there is a person in this audience this morning who would fail to go to a local business and take advantage of a $100 gift certificate. Why, oh why, will we not take advantage when Jesus has paid it all? Think about it. Now, I'm persuaded that there are some of you in the audience this morning who need to cash in that certificate as together we stand and sing.
Small child of weakness, watch and pray.